Morning, church. I'm going to stand up here because I'm short. Know your limits. If you would turn in your Bibles with me, I'm going to go to Psalms 78, verse 4. I have to warn you, I wrote this sermon right after watching the new Star Wars movie, which is all about legacy. And so in keeping with that, you know, there may be a lot of Star Wars references in here, some spoilers if you didn't see the movie, my bad. You're about to be disappointed. So when Palpatine, no, I'm not, I won't do that to you. But it was a really good movie to write a sermon afterwards because it really was this legacy and what happens and what can happen for generations to come and how you can influence that. And so that is kind of where my head was at. Don't worry, it's still biblical based. We're okay. You're good. Let's read Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the amazing time we had with baptism and worship, and just with the kids' lesson. God, we just ask that you would just speak to us this morning, that things will just begin to resonate in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I asked you in this congregation, who are some people that have lived out a legacy, who have left a legacy behind? Maybe they're still alive, maybe they're even here this morning, but people that you could think of, and maybe your mind goes to like Millie, right? Millie Eisman. And or what about Bear? I mean, every year the legacy of Bear is shared with the youth group as we get to do all this cool stuff because of the money that Bear has left the youth, and year after year we get to do these awesome things, and so his legacy continues. And so maybe you have somebody in this church, you're like, wow, they really impacted me, or they moved me in some way, or you know, they helped mentor me, or they did something. And so we can think of those people. And then I think a lot of us, probably like myself, I spent most of my life in the retail world, and there's people outside here that marked your life, right? Like imprinted on your life somewhere and just did something amazing. And you're like, you know, I had a former boss that I worked with at Toys R Us. He was just amazing with people and how to run a business. And he was really, really good at that. And I think of a youth pastor who gave me my first opportunity to speak in front of, you know, like 75 youth. And, you know, why in the world did he do that? I was so unqualified and I didn't know what I was talking about, but he gave me a chance. And those people that we can think of that have really left a legacy for us and have marked our lives in some way. And so that's kind of where we're going to focus this morning. But I will tell you, in the midst of all of this, you know, this is a kind of a sad time of year for me. Because, you know, we're like taking down the lights. And like, I love Christmas. I said to Emily on Christmas Eve, I said, you know, I don't even really like Christmas Day. I like the whole build up to that point. I was like, that's the part I like. I mean, I'm the guy who, you know, the weekend before Halloween, I put my Christmas lights up outside. Yep, I'm that guy. You know, I love it. I love this thing. You know, we listen to Christmas music like as soon as it hits the radio. Like my kids can now sing Christmas music along with worship music. We haven't heard worship music in 2 months. It's all been Santa and elves and, you know, Rudolph. But it's like this amazing thing. And my kids are young, and so they love it. And just this awesome thing. And, you know, now it's just kind of winter and it's bleh. Except for it's 50 degrees out today, so that doesn't really work at all. But eventually it'll become blah. And then we kind of look forward to, you know, what's next? It's Easter, it's spring, it's whatever else is happening. And so what really made me excited this morning was is when I get to talk about legacy. And if you know me, like, legacy is one of my big things. And this whole concept of 1,000 generations and all of these things that go through my head. And as we think about legacy, I think about, you know, Christmas and the impact that it will have. And will my kids learn something new that they didn't know about Jesus? And the discussion or the thing that they kind of learned this year or we had talked about was the fact that, you know, Jesus wasn't probably actually born in December. He was probably born the end of September. And, you know that's okay. And so if you didn't know that, you're today years old in knowing that. Congratulations. That was free. That wasn't even part of the sermon. But we always discuss, and you wonder, well, will that actually, is it going to stick with them? You know, did they learn something? Did something make an impact? Or, you know, will this year, the gifts this year, will they hit their top five? You know, Clark's only five, so far I'm 5 for 5 with him. Like, I'm doing awesome. Like, it's always his top five gifts. But, you know, the older ones, is it hitting it? Or did I get Emily something that she actually wanted? Something that impacts her and that she knows how much I appreciate her. So what is your legacy this year? If you had to go on just this year to say that this was your legacy, what would it be? Well, she sure did complain a lot. Was he ever happy about anything? Do their kids even know Jesus outside of church? He was good, but his anger got in the way of what he was trying to do. These are the questions that I struggle with and I think about often as I look at my own children and I look at the people that I'm around. What would my children remember about their dad if they just had this year? What would the youth say about me? Did I impact them? Did I make a difference in their lives? What about the other families in this church? Did I help them? Was I help to them? What about Linda or Ron or Kay? What about any of the primetimers? Do they know that I even care about them or that I pray for them and I love them? What about my neighborhood? If I'm gone and I'm not there anymore, does it matter? Is there a void left because I'm not in my neighborhood anymore? Because my house isn't there? Or does another family just move in and everybody moves on with life? How will they follow Christ if we're silent? How will we leave a legacy? You know, since it's Christmas, I guess we really should talk about Jesus if we talk about legacy, right? And so I began to think about this. Okay, well, what legacy did Jesus leave? What steps did he do that were purposeful and meaningful so that he would leave a legacy? So for the next 2 hours, we're going to study Jesus' legacy. And I have 900 points that we should all be following. No, I narrowed it down to 4. And I think we probably barely scratched the surface in just doing 4. But I have 4. And so that's what we're going to do. And so let's look at Jesus' legacy, shall we? Number 1, the legacy of extraordinary giving. Extraordinary giving. Matthew 19:21, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Now, if you know this line or this story, it's about the rich young ruler, and he had done everything right in his life, and he had come to Jesus, and he said, "What must I do?" And Jesus lays it out, and he's like, "I did all those things," and Jesus was like, "Then give everything away and follow me," and he didn't do it. Because, you see, his wealth was his stability. His wealth was his nest. It was his safe place. This story isn't actually about money. It's about a heart condition. It's about being able to say, "Jesus, I don't need anything else but you. I only need you." And that man couldn't do that. A little over 2 weeks ago, the church had received this amazing letter that was written on a typewriter, it wasn't even written by a hipster. It was a typewritten letter talking about legacy. Talking about how they had heard what God is doing here and that they wanted to be part of it, and they were former members of this and they had received this. And not only did they send this awesome letter, but they also sent a check for several tens of thousands of dollars because they wanted to invest in what God is doing now. Not just what he had done, which was amazing, but what God is doing now. That's amazing. That tells us something. That should make us excited, because that says that somebody on the outside sees what God is doing, sees the legacy, and they want to join in and be part of it. So are we the rich young ruler, or are we able to see that nothing will hold us back? The second one, legacy of healed people. Now, I couldn't really do verses for this. So how about the entire Gospel of Luke? Feel free to read on your own. There's a lot of healing in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was amazing. Everywhere he went on his path, broken people were restored and made whole. They were fixed. And so it gets me to thinking is that on my life's journey, when I leave, the wake of where I have gone, are people more broken than when I got there? Or are they healed and set free and moved in the right direction? How many of you are really quick to say, I'm praying for you, right? It's an easy thing to type on a text, or real easy to say to somebody, hey, I'm praying for you, I got you. And that's great, and I hope you do that. But how many of us are willing to actually stop in that moment and pray for that person? Yeah, but Ryan, it's in line at Costco, and it is really full 2 days before Christmas if you've never been there. Or it's a grocery store, and I don't really have time, and everybody's busy. I want to mention something. I did my own little experiment. I waited to see who prayed for Dean as he's hobbling around the church over the past couple of weeks. Now, I know Dean, a lot of people told him they were praying for him, and I know a lot of people did, myself included. But you know, I only saw one person stop, lay hands on him, and pray for him in that moment. Well, it's Sunday morning, and he's a busy guy. He wasn't moving fast. It's not like it wasn't hard to catch. Normally, it's like, gone, you know? But he wasn't. What were we willing to do in that moment? Are we willing to stop what we're doing, our agenda, and say, you know what? You're more important. I want to pray for you. I want you to be whole and healed in this moment so that your life is better. Now, many of you will say, well, that's scary, and isn't that your job, Ryan, or Pastor Brian's, or somebody else that would be on staff? And do you guys remember the story where the disciples told Jesus, Jesus, you just heal the sick, we're going to hang out here? No, you don't know that story because it's not in the Bible. Matter of fact, Jesus did the opposite. He empowered his disciples to go and heal the sick and to pray for the lost and hurting. That's what we're to do. And so you're right, absolutely, it is my job, and it's also your job. And I missed one in Costco, but I won't miss it twice. In that moment, praying for somebody. Do we build each other up with our words? Do we heal them with our words? Or do we bring them down? Do we encourage the generations above and below us? Or do we criticize them because they're too old and they don't get it? Or they're too young and immature and they need Jesus? It's very hard. Number three, the legacy of truth and love. John 8:11. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus declares. Go now and leave your life of sin. This is a very famous story. We actually preached on it a few weeks ago. And this is the woman who's caught in adultery. She's thrown down at Jesus' feet. And Jesus ends after everybody else drops their rocks and leaves by giving her truth and love. Now, the law states, and they were actually within their realm, they could have killed her on the spot, and Jesus could have been the first one to throw a stone. So he was well within his rights. He was following the law. But in the middle of that, mercy stepped in. The love part of the truth stepped in and said, you're right. You screwed up. But you know what? I forgive you for that. And Jesus doesn't leave her there. He sets her on a correct path. He tells her, don't sin anymore. Change your lifestyle. Become a different person. She was doing something wrong that was against God's law. Absolutely. But Jesus, in that moment, showed mercy. Do we show mercy in our truth? I'm a truth person. I have 4 children. I don't have a choice. I'm good with truth. But let me explain something to you. At 2:30 in the morning on a 2-year-old, the truth of why they need to take this medicine doesn't work. I tried it. It backfired. That was last night. Whoops. Some love, however, does. Who knew? So the truth is, you need to take this. Absolutely. But how I do that is totally different and changes a life. Hopefully my daughter remembers the second half of that, not the first half. Number four, and probably the biggest one, the legacy of discipleship. Luke 10, 8 and 9 says, when you enter a town and you are welcome, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus invested in a small group of people who then turned around and invested in small groups of people who changed the world. That's discipleship. Investing in just a few people to change the whole world? That is awesome. This set of verses is actually sandwiched into some of my favorite verses in the Bible and probably one of my favorite passages. Jesus sends out his disciples and they do all these amazing healings and these things, and they come back and they tell Jesus, and Jesus is like, this is awesome. He's stoked. That's in New Ryan translation. He's like super excited about what is going on. And for the next whole verse, the disciples are so disappointing. They are bickering. They're fighting. They're being just a group of men, right? Can I be honest? And it would have been a group of women too. Don't get all high and mighty on me. But they're just being human. And they're fighting. And they're not being nice to each other. And they're rejecting people. And so what does Jesus do at the end of that? He goes, hey, that worked awesome. Let's get 72 people together and go do the same thing. And he does it. Why? Because Jesus believed in the person to disciple the next person. He believed in it so much that despite our human nature and who we are as humans, he will go beyond that and say, you still get to invest in somebody. So regardless of how good you feel or bad you feel this morning, it makes no difference. God has somebody for you to invest in. I would tell you I've been super excited. We have an amazing group of young adults. I'm going to embarrass them for a minute. They didn't get embarrassed at first service. They weren't there. Their grandparents were, though, so good luck. We have a group of young adults that when they got together and they were asked some questions about this, things that were unprompted, but this whole thought of legacy, and one of the things that came up was is that they really wish that the older generation was willing to invest in them. They wish that somebody with wisdom of what they've gone through would be willing to speak into their lives and invest their time in them. I believe the exact quote was, they need more Mike and Nancy's in their life. Shout out to you guys. That was the quote. And so are we willing to do that? They're asking for it. Like, you don't even have to bribe them, like with free food or anything. Like, they asked for it. Free food still works really well, by the way. Not just that, but this same group said, you know, we want to make sure that we're investing in the college-age kids and the high school kids. Can we start to come up with ways to do that? How do we do that? How do we make sure that this next group that comes up always has a place to be? How do we do that? You see, there was another group of young adults that went before them who didn't do this, who just left and didn't leave them a legacy. And because of that, they see that. And they said, this will not happen to the next one after us. Sometimes painful things make us realize what needs to happen next. I'm very proud of this group, because they're realizing it both directions. They're desperate to pour into a generation, and they're desperate to have a generation pour into them. So who's going to step up? Who's going to invest in their lives? Can you say that you've done any of these things this year? Are we investing? Are we leaving a legacy like Jesus left? Do we have two of them, maybe? Maybe two? How do you want to end 2020? I'll probably teach the fifth Sunday also, so you get me twice. Do you want me to be standing here giving you a similar sermon? And feeling uncomfortable going, oh, he told us that last year? We had a whole year. No. The thing that I kept coming back, and believe me, I'm just as convicted by any of these as you may be. I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know what? I don't want at the end of 2020 to be able to say I could have done more. I could have done more. I want to be able to go, I did everything I could have done. I did it. In closing, I'd like to talk to you just about some real practical things. Really easy things that make that list happen in your life. How many of you have, and I've heard so many people say it, so you be honest, or I'm going to point you out. No, I won't. But have said, man, we got a mission field right down the hill here, right? How many of you have said that? How many of you have thought that? Well, we have a mission field right down the hill. There's a huge school right there, right? They're just there. How many of you know, and by the way, that's not just my job. I'm about to give you how it's also your job. You didn't think you were getting work this morning, but how many of you guys know that almost 40 kids in 5th and 6th grade every Tuesday from 1 to 3 come into our building for release time? Do you realize that over half of those kids are unchurched? Over half of them. Do you know that drastically changes the way you have to teach Bible stories? When half your kids have never been exposed to church, but they realize that they got out of be out of school for an hour and go get snacks and talk to some people, and so they're willing to do it. And I know it's troublesome on the teachers and it's hard on them, but it's important. 40 kids. Every week for the past however many weeks, we have had between 5 and 10 new kids, new signups. Boom, boom, boom. Past couple weeks. It's exploding. That's coming to our doors. We didn't even go anywhere. We got to go pick them up and bring them here. But we don't have to do anything. They're here. That's amazing. How many of you realize that over 50 children every Sunday walk through these doors? And I'm including birth through 12th grade. Sorry, guys, I called you children. My bad. Over 50 of them walk through our doors. How many kids walk through the daycare? Your legacy is right here. I don't know if you know this yet or not. We didn't announce this. I hope Brian's all right with me saying this, but there's going to be 2 mission trips next year. And so, are you willing to go? Are you willing to invest somewhere else? Are you willing to leave an imprint somewhere else in the world? You're going, Ryan, man, that's not my thing. I'm too old for that, or I'm too this, or I can't go. That's fine. That's fantastic. Are you willing to sponsor somebody? Are you willing to say, you know what? I will pay for that person to go on a mission trip because I know it will change their lives. I know that they will never be the same. Just as a side note, last night I have a friend of mine that got married, and she is from Guatemala, and was at her wedding reception thing last night. And it was amazing to me to see people. I've been going to Guatemala for 20 years, and to see people in that room that have been impacted by what has been done in that country is mind-blowing. I was seeing people that when I first started going to Guatemala, they were babies, and now they have kids. I have kids that are now getting ready to go. That's impactful. That's leaving a legacy. I've seen what the missionaries have done down there, and it's like this is impacting multiple generations now. That's plug. Sorry. But that's going to happen in 2020. So are you willing to send somebody? Somebody that it'll change their lives forever. I promise you. It will change them. I want you to find a young adult that's desperate for some help. I want you to find a parent with kids, take them out to lunch, love on them a little bit, watch their kids, become a hero. You will, for me. I will put a plaque on a wall. But encourage them with the wisdom that you have. And you that don't think you have any wisdom, to somebody you do. Somebody you can turn around and share God with them. You can share Jesus, what he's done in your life. You can impart wisdom down to the people below you or across from you. Reach out to the lonely person You realize that this time of year, there's plenty of lonely people sitting in pews. Are we willing to invite them into our Christmas, into the things our family is doing? Are we willing to invite them to be part of what we're doing? It seemed like a small thing, but it might be a huge thing to them. It might mean the difference of their Christmas. Are we willing to do that? Can we get excited about what God's doing? Can we do that? Can we be excited about what is happening here, what God has done in 2019, and realizing that this legacy starts now and I believe goes for generations? The Bible says that God blesses for 1,000 generations. I oftentimes think, God, what will happen to my family in 10 generations? Yep, I think that far ahead. Nope, I don't believe God's coming back yet. 10 generations from me. Will they know who I am? Will I have made a difference that they can stand on and change the world? Is that possible? Think about that. 10 generations from you. I know you're young. I'm sorry. Just don't lose me for a minute. You guys got it. 10 generations from you. Will they know what's next? Will they know what God has done in your life? Will they be impacted and have a legacy? You have the ability to change the world. Invest in one person. Find them. Do one of these four things this year. Do all four. Do one of them and change the world. Amen.